Father, we just thank you for this feast day, for your Shavuot. We just praise you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Father, our hearts are full because of what you've done for us. Father, I just thank you that just last year we were celebrating in the hospital. But you brought us through. You brought Stacy out. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for this time, even as you watch over us. Father, this time has not taken you by surprise, nor is your arm short during this time. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, you are just as powerful today, the day that you hovered over the face of the deep. Oh, that we could truly die to ourselves, that you might shine through each of us to a world that needs you, to people who are hurting, to many of those today who are still in the hospitals, who are in need of your touch. May we be your hands, may we be your feet. May we be the one to carry your hope. Yeshua, you said if we lift you up, you would draw all men unto you. May we be that light, that city on the hill that cannot be hid. Search me, try me. Oh, remove all the wickedness that is within me. Messiah, that you might shine. That we wouldn't just honor you with our lips, but we would draw near to you with our hearts. That you would let, we would let you take out that heart of stone. Give us that heart of flesh. You would write your laws on our inward members. That we could choose life. And as the blessings came, they would overflow to a world that needs a blessing. It would redeem the curse that everywhere our feet would tread, we would overcome. For we know the God of this world is not the true God. We know the God of this world does not have the power. But you, O Father, are the one and true and living God. And Yeshua, even now you are seated at the right hand of the Father till all your enemies are made your footstool. We declare today in our lives and in this place, we will serve Yahuwah. And Father, even from this small place, may it be ripples forth from here into our community, into our neighbors, into our family, to the places our work, that we shop, that we go. And may your spirit burn forth from here till all the world is ablaze for your glory. Father, for those who are joining us by broadcast, by live stream, or on podcast, for those who are gathered here, may you touch each one right now in the name of Yeshua. May even now you begin to heal their hurts, their physical pains. And may they know that you are the provider. Ruach HaKodesh, come open your word to us. Teach us your way that we may have life and life abundantly. Amen. Well, welcome everyone who's here, those who are joining us as we're trying to begin to stream our services and broadcast them. Forgive us as we're learning and things don't go smoothly. I do just want to stop and again thank him. You know, this time last year, we were in the hospital, just barely out of intensive care. But he is faithful. And he heals where there doesn't seem to be a way. He makes a way. And even in the midst of this pandemic, he is still on the throne. Even in the midst of worry and fear, his perfect love will cast out all fear. He says that we just have the faith of a mustard seed. And I know mine wasn't any bigger at all. It's enough to speak to that mountain and see it be moved and cast into the sea. So I tell you, there's still hope today. Hope for our nation that seems intent on plunging headlong into godlessness, lawlessness. Hope for our families that don't want to hear the message of what we have to say. Hope because he is still on the throne. And he loves us more than we do. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have life. As we have come to Shavuot, as we've counted the Omer from first fruits, from the celebration of the resurrection of Messiah, I just want to begin by looking back at Leviticus 23, as we are commanded to keep his feast. Though we no longer have the temple sacrifice, it is still his appointed time. Excuse me. Leviticus 23:15, and from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaves of the wave offering, you shall count for yourself 7 completed Sabbaths. Until the morrow after the Sabbath, you count 50 days. Then you shall bring a new grain offering to Yah. Bring from your dwellings for a wave offering 2 loaves of bread of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour they are, baked with leaven, first fruits to Yah. And besides the bread, you shall bring 7 lambs, a year old, perfect ones, and 1 bull and 2 rams. They are an ascending offering to Yah with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet fragrance to Yah. And you shall offer 1 male goat as a sin offering and 2 male lambs, a year old, as a slaughter of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them besides the bread of the first fruits is a wave offering before Yah. Besides the 2 lambs, they are set apart to Yah for the priest. And on the same day, You shall proclaim a set-apart gathering for yourselves. You do no servile work on it, a law forever, and all your dwellings throughout your generations. Numbers 28. Starting in verse 26. And on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to Yah at your festival of Shavuot, you have a set-apart gathering. You do no servile work. And you shall bring near an ascending offering as a sweet fragrance to Yah, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs a year old, with their grain offerings of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, 1 male goat to make atonement for you. Perfect ones they are for you. Prepare them with their drink offerings besides the continual ascending offering with his grain offering. And lastly, Deuteronomy 16. Starting in verse 9, count 7 weeks for yourselves. Begin to count 7 weeks from the time you began to put the sickle to the grain. And you shall perform the festival of Shavuot to Yah your Elohim according to the voluntary offering from your hand which you give as Yah your Elohim blesses you. And you shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim, you and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gate, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are in your midst, at the place where Yah your Elohim chooses to make his name dwell. You shall remember that you were a slave in Mitzrayim, and you shall guard and do these laws. Then in verse 23, in verse 16, 3 times a year, all your males appear before Yah your Elohim in the place which he chooses, at the festival of Matzah, the festival of Shavuot, and the festival of Sukkot. And none should appear before Yah empty-handed, but each one with the gift of his hand according to the blessing of Yah your Elohim, which he has given you. Excuse me. Again, we are celebrating Shavuot as we were commanded to. Remember the blessings he gave us, though largely we're no longer an agrarian society. Most of us aren't farmers. And even those who do no longer truly follow the cycle with our hybrid grains and our machines and our fertilizing. We don't follow the cyclical growing seasons anymore. But that doesn't change Yah's time. Nor does that change Yah's commands. And he said way back in Genesis, he gave us these moedim, these appointed times and seasons. And he works during those times and seasons. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They again celebrated the first Pesach as he was, as they were coming out and driven out, and they didn't have the time for the bread to rise. They had ate the Passover lamb, so the death angel would pass over. And then they were driven out. We were to remember and celebrate the festival. And it's for 7 days we were to eat unleavened bread. And even more meaningful to us is we know that Yeshua was slain during the Passover season. And it says that he was our Paschal lamb. Because of his blood on our doorpost, the death angel will pass over and we'll have eternal life. But not only did he die during that season, he was raised again on first fruits. The scripture tells us to be first fruits for us, or the firstborn among many brethren. And so it is our hope, because of what he did, that one day we too will be resurrected. One day we too will live with him in eternity. They came through the Red Sea, they came through the wilderness, and then they came, the scripture says, in the third month to Sinai. Many believe that it was on Shavuot that Yah came down on Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments. We know it was on Shavuot that Messiah told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem and that the Holy Spirit would fall. Many today call it Pentecost. Penta being 50, the counting of the Omer, the counting of the days. Traditionally, it was also, many believe, the day that Noah saw the rainbow, that Yah has had this day as a day of covenant, a day of remembering. Many believe it was the day that Jacob and Laban made the covenant between each other. So a time of reminding Yah, but also reminding ourselves of the covenant. The covenant that he said, if we would listen, if we would obey, he would be our God and we would be his people. Remembering the covenant that he cut with himself when he swore to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants. And the covenant that his son bled and gave up his life, that I might be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that because of that, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, could come and reside with us. That's what I want to begin to look at today. And see, what did Messiah say and some other verses about the Spirit, since we celebrate the giving in Acts of the Spirit? Let's look at John 14. John 14, beginning in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. Now, when I was growing up, I always thought that meant the works that he did, the miracles, we would do in even greater works because he goes to the Father. And I do believe that's part of it, if you look at this word. But part of the meaning also is the same works it speaks of in Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It's a doing. When we go to work, it's something you go to do to accomplish a task. It's usually not miraculous, although sometimes my wife says getting me to do something is miraculous. But it is a work. It is an effort. It is something that we choose to do. Messiah himself said that he chose not to do his will, but the will of his Father who sent him. And though salvation, hallelujah, is through grace, I can't earn it. There's nothing I can do to keep it. The scripture says if I'm guilty of one sin, of one breaking of the commandment, I'm guilty of them all. And Yah's holiness, Yah's righteousness, Yah's perfection requires perfection. So I'm lost without Messiah. I'm hopeless. I'm doomed. The wages of sin is death. So I'm not trying to earn salvation. My children were all born under covenant. My wife and I covenanted together before Yah. And as we came together and was one flesh and the shedding of blood, that covenant was consummated. And through those remembrances, eventually children came. None of them had anything to do with being born. It was the covenant of my wife and I. Yet after they were born, and especially as they began to grow, they had a choice. Because of the covenant my wife and I had, whether or not they would obey and experience blessings, or whether they would disobey and experience cursings. Their obedience made them no more a child of mine than their disobedience. And their disobedience made them no less a child of mine than their obedience. But it absolutely affected their fellowship. It absolutely affected their daily lives. Because I loved them less when they were disobedient than when they were obedient. No, if anything, I love them more when they were disobedient because I love them enough, as the scripture says, whom the Father loves, he chastises. I wanted the best for them, and so I was willing to do what was unpleasant for me and unpleasant for them for their long-term benefit. Now, if we can understand that as earthly parents, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more does it make sense that He would want the best for us? And how much more does it not make sense that the Torah He gave, His right rulings, His commandments, His mitzvahs, His way, would be the best for us? If you recall, at the end of Deuteronomy, he took the children of Israel and he split them into six tribes and put six on one mountain and six on the other mountain and proclaimed to them, if you do these things, you shall prosper. You shall be blessed. You shall live. If you disobey these things, if you don't do these things, you will be cursed. The wages of sin is death. And then he admonishes him, choose life. Jesus said the same thing. I came that they might have life and life abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now that wasn't a doing away with, a replacing of, because the first was not good. It was because I was a slave to sin. I was lost. I was under bondage. But Messiah said he made a way that I could be born again. Born not just of the water, but of the Spirit. In Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16, John the Immerser, John the Baptizer, spoke and said, there's one coming after me who won't just baptize you in water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's going to come and purify us, cleanse us, change us. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That I'm a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. All things have become new. So that now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So now I'm without excuse. Before, as Paul tells us in Romans, the things I wanted to do, I never seemed to be able to do. The things I didn't want to do, those are the things I ended up doing. Woe is me, he said. He said, I see two laws warring in my inward members. But Messiah came to end that war. Messiah came to conquer that war. It says his word is alive and powerful. More powerful than a two-edged sword, even able to divide asunder. What word is that? What word was around when that verse was being written? It was his Torah. His laws, his commands. John 14:13, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I shall do, in order that the Father may be esteemed in the Son. If you ask whatever in my name, I shall do it. Now, what does it mean to ask whatever in his name? Does that just mean at the end of all my prayers, I say in Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua Messiah? And that means all my prayers are going to be answered? I mean, there was the seven sons of Sceva who tried that, if you recall the story. They went in, and there was a woman who was, or a man who was possessed, and he said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Paul, who worships Jesus, y'all come out. And it worked. They came out, but it didn't work so well for the sons of Sceva. The demons tore off the clothes and drove them out of the house. What does it mean to ask in his name? Well, now, I have children. And sometimes I don't feel like getting up and going and getting one, so I'll tell the one near me, go tell them daddy wants them. And when they go and tell their other sibling, daddy wants you, and the sibling goes, who are you? You're just my brother. You're just my sister. And the child comes back and says, daddy, I told them. And they just said, I don't need to listen to you. You're my brother. You're my sister. I don't go, well, they're right. You don't have any authority over them. You're just their brother, sister. Oh, let me get up and go do it. No, they did not defy their brother or sister. Why? Because their brother and sister went in my name. And my children quickly learned that lesson, that they went in my name. And so they suffered the same consequences they would have if they would have not listened when I called them. Now, I'm sure none of my children would have ever done it, but I've heard of children who would go and say, daddy said, when daddy didn't really say, but they wanted it to be that way. They used my name in vain. And they just thought there was consequences for not coming when Daddy called. When they went in my name and weren't sent. We better be careful what we pray in His name. We better be careful what we put His hashtag on just because we want it to be trending, just because that's our desire, just because I want you to listen. We better make sure it's in His name. And if you'll read the next verse right after He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He says, if you love me, you shall guard my commands, and I shall ask the Father. Well, now, while right in the middle of, I can ask whatever I want to and you'll do it, do you get around to, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? Maybe that gives us a big clue about asking in His name. Because I already know much of His will. Because in verse after verse, chapter after chapter, He told us what was His will. And Messiah had already told His disciples when they said, how do we pray? He prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how much sin is in heaven? None. Then how much sin should be on earth? If that's what we're praying. And what is sin? What does Scripture say sin is? Transgression of the law. Not my definition, the Bible's definition. Argue with the Bible. So if sin is the transgression of the law, there's no sin in heaven. There's no transgression of the law. So on earth, I'm supposed to pray that there be no transgression of the law. What would that mean I would be doing? Obeying the law. So I could be saved? No, I've already missed it. To be saved, according to Torah, I had to completely and totally keep the law. It's too late for me. And the Scripture says it's too late for every human who was ever born because we were born in the seed of Adam. I can tell you, with my children, I did not have to teach them how to be bad. They had plenty of their daddy in them, and they knew how to do it already. What I had to do was apply the rod of correction so it would drive foolishness from the heart of a child. They got to choose how foolish they would be. We get to choose how foolish we will be. And is it not foolish to say, Father, I know you gave these laws and you call them good. Paul even called it the perfect Torah. But I'm going to be foolish and say, because I am a child of God, and even though there's no sin in heaven, it'd be all right down here. If the wages of sin is death, why would I want to earn any more than I have to? But if I can choose life by choosing to obey, wouldn't that be a better choice? And now, because I'm no longer a slave to fear, no longer a slave to sin, no longer under bondage of the enemy, no longer owned by Hasatan, but have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous kingdom of life, now I have a choice. Slaves don't have a choice. They have to obey their master. Free men have a choice. And the scripture says, it was for freedom he set me free. See, now I have a choice. So what scripture says, those who know and then choose, not much hope for them. Verse 16, I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world is unable to receive, but it does not see, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he stays with you and shall be in you. Let's pick up in verse 23. Yeshua answered him, if anyone loves me, he shall guard my word, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come to him and make our stay with him. He who does not love me does not guard my words. Do we guard his words? Do we even know what his words are? Well, let's see what he says in the rest of the verse. And the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me. Now, what words did his Father speak? Literally, what words did his Father speak? The Ten Commandments on Sinai, on Shavuot, long ago. He brought them out of Egypt. He delivered them on Passover. All they had to do was put the blood on the doorpost, was to believe. And they were saved, spared the death of the firstborn. Because of that event, Pharaoh finally let them go, drove them out, had enough, and said, go. And they were set free. Then Pharaoh repented and said, what have we done letting them go? Let's go get them back. But if you remember the story, the column of light, the column of smoke raised up from before them went and stood between Pharaoh and Israel that they could not come near. For a while, they were protected from the enemy that wanted to get them. But many of them feared. Many of them thought, oh, you just brought us out into the wilderness to get slaughtered. But Yah made a way. If you'll remember, he split the seas. And scripture tells us they were all baptized as they walk through the sea. We have a choice then. Are we going to continue to obey? Am I going to take that seal of the covenant? Am I going to express to others that I am dying to self and living to him? But then once they got out of the Red Sea, it didn't end there. They began to see his provisions as he took them to Sinai and gave them his commands. And then chapter after chapter, he explained his commands. How do you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind? How do you love me? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? So that there would not be questions, but that he would make a way where there seemed to be no way, that I could know what is that straight and narrow way that leads to life. And I would also know the broad way, which would be anything else, that led to destruction. Does that sound anything like our walk, our growth? What were we saved for? What were we saved from? What are we saved to? What am I to be about now? Verse 25, these words I've spoken to you while still with you, but the Helper, the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. So what is the Holy Spirit going to do? Teach us and remind us of what? All Jesus said. And what did Jesus say? What his Father said. So if I truly have the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach me. Why does he need to teach me? I didn't learn it the first time, obviously. I'm a little dense. Y'all probably all caught it the first time. And he's going to remind me of what Messiah said, who reminded me of what his Father said. Why is that? Because if you look at the story after Torah, Israel forgot over and over and over that by the time Messiah had come, literally 10 of the tribes had been taken away, had been lost. And the ones who were here weren't doing very good remembering either. Judah was now under Roman rule because they had forgotten their God again. Oh, you'll read and it'll go well under some kings who remember. And then it'll go bad under other kings who don't. And then they get taken away into Babylon. And then Nehemiah brings some of them back and it goes, and then they get taken away and then they come back again and cycle over and over. Oh, but hallelujah, today we've got Jesus. We see no cycles at all through our history or through the church history where we have, oh, I don't know, dark ages and then brief periods of revival, a great awakening one, great awakening two. How do you have a great awakening two if everybody was already awoke from the great awakening one? And if everybody wasn't awoke from the great awakening one, what was so great about the awakening? But if you study through church history, we have these names and times. And hallelujah for his grace. Hallelujah for his mercy that he hasn't totally forgotten about us, turned his back on us, obliterated us. But how sad that we have had Messiah who has died for us. We have had the Holy Spirit to come indwell us. And does the world look better today or worse? Is our culture today more godly, more modest, more family-oriented and friendly? Or do we see the reason why the scripture says, come out of her, my people, that you partake not of her sins and her plagues? John 16. Starting in verse 7. But I say the truth to you, it is better for you that I go away, if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you at all. But if I go, I shall send him to you. And having come, he shall convict the world concerning sin. What is sin? So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming? What did Jesus say? Come on, these are the red letters. This is Messiah speaking. Surely he knows. The Son of God. He said, it's better if I go away. Because if I go, the Ruach HaKodesh will come. And what's he going to do? Convict the world of sin. What did Paul say? How did he know sin? See, it was Torah. If it was never Torah, I would have had no idea of sin. So what's he going to bring to our remembrance? That's a little bit different than what I learned the ministry of the Holy Spirit was. Now, hallelujah for the gifts of the Spirit. And if we have time, we may get there. It doesn't look like we'll have time. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning the gifts of the Spirit. So do you know what that means? It would be good not to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. But what's a gift? A gift is something somebody gives me. Why? Because they decided to give me a gift. It's them, not me. But there's also a thing called the fruit of the Spirit. We don't like looking at those near as much because, oh, that's like love and joy and peace and gentleness and self-control. But what's fruit? What? Life from the tree. Fruit's what the tree produces. Produces for what? Yeah, for something else to consume. To duplicate, replicate itself. And to replicate itself many times over. Doesn't say the gifts do that. I can plant a gift. You know what I get? Nothing. Not even the gift. I planted it. I don't have it anymore. I can plant a fruit. You know what I get? A bunch more trees. And for long, a whole lot more fruit. Or I can give the fruit to someone who's in need, and they can consume it and have life. But if they'll just spit out the seeds, and even if they eat the seeds, they'll come out later anyway. And you know what happens then? Wow, I can consume the fruit and it still produces life. I can let someone else consume the fruit and it still produces life. Maybe which one I ought to focus on a little more? Oh no, I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts. Hallelujah for the gifts. I don't know if we'd have made it last year. Without people praying for us and the operation of the gifts inside the body. Oh, we desperately need him in this world today, but we desperately need his fruit. We desperately need a world where they'll see Jesus. If you recall, Pharaoh's magicians did gifts for the first few. If you recall, the Antichrist, the false prophet, will come in the end days doing and deceiving many with lying signs and wonders. But you know what he won't have? Fruit. Because the scripture, as we read yesterday, said, a good tree brings forth good fruit, and a rotten tree brings forth rotten fruit. You'll know them by their gifts. No, you'll know them by their fruit. And today, instead, we look at people's gifts. We elevate them. We flock to them because of their gifts. And then we shake our head when their fruit doesn't withstand it. Verse 8, having come, he shall convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness. What's righteousness? Scripture, obedience to the law, obedience to Torah, and concerning judgment. What's judgment? What happens when a judgment is put against you? Come on, if you've got a business and something happens and a judgment's put against you, if you have an accident, a judgment's put against you, if your neighbor looks at you and puts a judgment against you, what is a judgment? Yeah, a judgment is something someone has said they have a claim to. Now, if it's my neighbor judging me, really ain't so bad. I'm not much worried about my neighbor, no way. What's he going to do about it? If the judge judges you, he's got the authority to back up his judgment. Now let's look and see what this means. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. All right, now let's stop just a minute. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Why? Because they don't believe in me. Who's me? Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus, there shouldn't be what? Sin. And what's sin? Transgression of the law. So those who believe in Jesus shouldn't be. Man, that's so different from what I was taught when I was young. But now this is Jesus speaking. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Okay, what does that have to do with it? He goes to his Father and he sees me no more. He sends the Holy Spirit. And what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Teach me, remind me. Later on in Acts, he told them, tarry till you receive power from the Holy Spirit. Other places it says he helps us. He makes intercession where we don't even know what to pray for with groanings that cannot be uttered. What's he groan about? He got a backache? His leg hurts? Or is it like me when I see my children and I go, oh. Or when I do something idiotic and go, oh. Maybe he groans for the same reason. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. See, and the good news is I don't have to be subject to the ruler of this world anymore. I am no longer a slave to fear, a slave to sin. I am a child of God, a child of the I Am. So I don't have to live like Satan no more because he don't own me. I can live like Christ who strengthens me. And if I live like Christ, what's that going to look like? Maybe it'll look like the things Christ did. What did Christ do? Go around sinning everywhere he went? Or the only one ever to walk the face of the earth to keep the law perfectly? The one who went around and demons came and fell at his feet and said, why have you come to torment us? The ones who healed the blind, made the deaf hear, raised the dead. But do you know why he had authority? He came to a man once and said, the man said, can you come and pray for my servant? And Jesus said, yeah. And he said, well, no, no, all you need to do is pray. I'm sorry. He said, can you pray for my servant? Jesus said, I'll come pray. He said, you don't need to come. Just say the word. See, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. I'm not the authority. I'm under authority. And because I'm under authority, I speak to that one and say, oh, go do that, speak to that and go do it. They do it. So all you need to do is say the word. Because see, Jesus was under authority. Under whose authority? His Father's. How do we know he was under his Father's authority? He obeyed and did everything his Father said to do. So do you know what happened? Everything his Father said would happen. He was blessed going in, blessed going out. The blessings overtook him. There was no curses. So he was able, everywhere his feet tread, to have dominion. Because that's what his Father had first commanded. Go forth, multiply, have dominion. See, when he was the firstborn among many brethren, he was showing us how we could live. Because I was going to be translated from the kingdom of the darkness to the kingdom of life, I no longer have to be conformed to this world, but I can be transformed through the renewing of my mind. And who's going to help me do that? The Holy Spirit. I can bring every thought captive unto the obedience to Christ. And because I can be transformed by the renewing of the word, I can prove what is the good, perfect, acceptable will of Yah. I still have many words, verse 12, to say to you, but you are not able to bear them now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall announce to you what is to come. Look at 1 Peter. Now remember, this is Peter who had denied Messiah three times, who had let the little damsel get him to curse. But look at Peter after Pentecost. Kepha, an emissary, verse 1, of Yeshua HaMashiach to the chosen strangers of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, set apart by the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua Messiah, favor and peace be unto you, be increased to you. Set apart unto obedience. Look at Ezekiel. Chapter 36. Verse 25. And I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I cleanse you. And what does that sound like? Anybody? Yeah, forgiveness of our sin. What do we call that? You know, I was told that was the reason I walked the aisle. Pray a prayer and get the forgiveness of our sin. Ask Jesus in my heart. Salvation. I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I clean you. Then I was told, all right, that's it. Go and do likewise. But what does the rest of Ezekiel say here? It says, and I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Oh, yeah, I was told I was given a new heart and a new spirit. Yeah, that's right. Sounds even more like salvation, doesn't it? And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I shall give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit within you. Well, that's exactly what I was promised. That now the Holy Spirit would come and live within me. Jesus would be in my heart. But look at this next part. And I shall cause you to walk in my laws and guard my right rulings and shall do them. You realize Yah is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain. Yah has not changed from the beginning. He knew the end from the beginning, the scripture says. And that is why Yeshua was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And the same promises he gave through Torah, the same promises he gave to the patriarchs, to the prophets, the same looking forward to Messiah coming is the same as us looking back. That one day we would be delivered from the bondage of sin. And that one day, not only would we be cleaned, not only would we be given a new heart and a new spirit, but that because of his Holy Spirit within me, I could walk in his laws and guard his right rulings and do them. Let's look at Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the set apart spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is a witness? Somebody who saw something. What did they see? They saw Yeshua Messiah, who came and promised them the set-apart spirit and told them what would the spirit do? Teach them, remind them, convict us, comfort us, and empower us. That power from on high, what was its purpose? What's the purpose of fire? It burns. What does it burn? Anything that can be burned. What about stuff that can't be burned? What does it purify if it can't be burned? Oh, it only purifies if it's impure. It only burns, scripture says, wood, hay, and stubble. But the gold, the silver is refined. See, I can see a hunk of metal. Oh, and it looks like it's good. It looks like it's pure. It looks like metal to me. But when you put it in the refiner's fire, and it begins to make it malleable, moldable, it begins to change it. All of a sudden, what bubbles up to the top? Anything that's impure, any slag, any... anything that is not of that metal, not of purity. And what looked like a pure hunk before is now even more pure. And you know how you get it purer? Yeah, increase the heat. How pure do you want to be? What happened in chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell? What did it say he looked like sitting on the disciples? Cloven tongues of fire. What do you think it was doing? Doing what fire does. You sure we're ready for Shavuot? Are we finally ready to say, search me, try me, see if there's any wicked way within me, and burn out everything that is not of you? Holy Spirit, come convict me of sin. Teach me your way. And burn everything that's not of me. Now, we know they went out afterwards. They spoke with tongues. Everyone there heard the message in their own language. Many of them thought the people were drunk. Paul said, no, they're not drunk. This is what Joel prophesied. That in the last days, he would pour out his spirit. Peter prophesied from Joel, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. Let's pick up chapter 2 down in verse 37 and see what difference did it really make. Having heard this, they were pierced to their heart and said to Kephas, Peter, to the rest of the emissaries, men, brothers, what should we do? And Kephas said to them, repent. Let every one of you be immersed in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the set-apart Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as Yah or Elohim shall call. And with many other words, he earnestly witnessed and urged him, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. If he thought it was crooked then, what would they think of our generation? As Revelation said, come out of her, my people, that you be take not of her plagues or of her sins. Today we need to be saved from our crooked generation. Then those indeed who gladly received his words were immersed, and on that day about 3,000 beings were added to them. Listen, and they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the emissaries, the apostles, the disciples. What were they teaching them? I mean, what did they have? They were teaching them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those weren't even written yet. They were teaching them the Torah and the prophets. And they were teaching them the things that the Holy Spirit was reminding them of. And what did Yeshua say the Holy Spirit would remind them of? The Torah. Father's words that we might choose life. And in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every being. Why would fear come upon you? Obviously, we realize, oh, my goodness, I was doing that wrong. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Have you ever been driving, you think you're going somewhere, and all of a sudden you realize, oops, I'm not going the way I thought I was. And all of a sudden you have that moment, but do you know what you do then? Turn around, go the right way. And when they turned around, went the right way, when they were reminded by the Holy Spirit and taught to choose life, what happened? And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all those who believed were together, had all in common, sold their possessions and property, divided them among all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the set apart place. Where's that? What do you mean the temple? Jesus had already died. What were they doing in the temple? I thought this was the birth of the church. Obviously, they were still going where he had put his name. They were still going where the Holy of Holies was. They were still obeying the law. Even those who were in charge were not, and were the ones that crucified Christ. It still didn't change what Father said to do. And it didn't change as their hearts got on fire for Yeshua, instead of just going on Sabbath, as law required, they were daily in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house. You get that? They went to the temple first. Then they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And the Master added to the assembly those who were being saved day by day. Why'd they quit going to the set apart place? Why'd they ever start meeting in houses? Yeah. If you'll read the story, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, when they went, where was the first place they went? To the temple, to the synagogue. But after they started speaking many times, they were no longer welcome in the synagogue. And so you'll read and it says, oh, they got a house right next to the synagogue, or a group of them said, we want to hear you next Sabbath. And so they met wherever they could meet. They didn't abandon the synagogue. They didn't abandon his commands. They followed them the best they could and went where they could and taught where they could, because they knew his laws were for the generations. Why? So that I could have salvation? No, because he loves me. Because he loved me, because he sent his son, because I've been purchased with such a great price, I want to live like Jesus lived. I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to heal like Jesus healed. I want to speak like Jesus spoke. And I don't have to wonder how that is, because he loved me so much, he gave his word so that it can direct me, it can show me. And not only did he give me his word, because the letter of the law killeth, he gave me his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, so that I can live by spirit and in truth. Because Messiah said, in the last days, those who worship me will truly worship me in spirit and in truth. So that he speaks to me the word of life. He teaches me. He reminds me. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Today, as we celebrate Shavuot, go sit down. Just encourage anyone who is here, anyone who is listening. If you have never asked him to forgive you of your sins, today is the day of your salvation. If you've never asked the Holy Spirit to empower you, to teach you, to remind you, to convict you, today is Shavuot. If you need more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, let his fire burn out every impurity that's not there. And if you think there's a world that needs his gifts, ask anything in his name, and it shall be done. Father, thank you for your set-apart times. Thank you that every morning your mercies are new. And I can come boldly into the very throne room of God because of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. But that you have set times and seasons that I don't know the reasons for, because your ways are not like my ways and your thoughts are not like my thoughts, but as high above the heavens or above the earth are your thoughts and your ways. So we have come with expectancy, counting the Omer, looking forward to today. Father, may I hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And may I open myself to the fire of your Spirit, that he can refine me and burn everything that's not of you. And if there's nothing left, you can make beauty out of ashes. You can speak to the dry bones to live. You can put sinew and muscle and even flesh back on that which has been cast away and cast out. And you can so fill us with your Spirit that we can speak to the mountain in people's lives, and they will be removed and cast into the sea, that they may see our good works and glorify your name, Father. And that your hands and your feet, your word and your ways will still be proclaimed on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto, Leolam Vayeh.